Chapter 6. The Argument of Facts. There is a well-known saying, you can't argue against the facts. This is likewise true of the enthronement. Just as the claim of Jesus to be the Son of God was backed up by miracles, so also from the very beginning, the enthronement crusade has been signed with the seal of signs and wonders. It has been blessed by heaven. For the purpose of encouraging those with problems to place all their trust in the loving heart of the Savior, in this chapter we will recount some actual cases that have occurred in various parts of the United States. We do this as an act of gratitude to the Sacred Heart for His greater honor and glory. Lightning strikes twice. Sacramento. The father was a non-Catholic, working nights in an airplane factory. He was a good man, but little interested in the church. One day, his wife was told about the enthronement. She had the ceremony in her home, and her children became Tarsesians. They were appointed to keep fresh flowers before the statue of the Sacred Heart in the corner of the living room, and began praying and sacrificing for their father's conversion. Sometime later, there was a terrible electric storm. The children were in bed. The mother was seated next to a radio on which the Sacred Heart statue was enthroned. On the other side of her chair was an oil heater she had lighted as the night was chilly. Suddenly, for no apparent reason, she arose, turned off the heater, and stood in the middle of the floor, looking at the statue. In its upraised hands, the children had placed small flowers. She was wondering if she should remove them, when at once a bolt of lightning struck the house. There was a flash of flame in the corner where she'd been sitting. The lights went out as smoke filled the room. The frightened mother rushed to get her children safely out of the house and then called the fire department. When the firemen arrived, they found much smoke, but no fire. On examining the corner, they were surprised to find the radio burned out and the cabinet and heater charred. Yet the statue, with its metal halo, was untouched. Still fresh in the upraised hands were the flowers. "Madam," said the chief, "someone is very lucky. I don't understand why that oil heater didn't blow up, and it's a good thing no one was sitting in that chair. He might have been electrocuted." When the woman told them what she had done just before the lightning struck, they were amazed. She, of course, was deeply grateful to the Sacred Heart who had so visibly protected her home and her children. Yet, she said, as she told me the story, that was just the first great blessing. The second was an even greater surprise. One day, out of the clear sky, her husband informed her that he was going to take instructions to become a Catholic. "Father," she said, "this was like another bolt of lightning. It took us completely by surprise. We will never be able to thank the Sacred Heart enough for His goodness to our family." Just in time, New Orleans. For a long time, the priest had been trying to arrange a suitable date for the enthronement, but each time something turned up to cause the family to postpone it. Finally, a night was agreed upon, and the zealous pastor came to the home. It was his custom to begin with the blessing of the home. As he passed from room to room, he came to a bedroom and saw a man in bed. He was told that the man was a boarder who had been in the hospital and had come back just that day. After the ceremony, Father went in to talk to the man and learned that he'd been away from the sacraments for a long time. He heard the man's confession, anointed him, and the next day brought him Holy Viaticum. The following day, the man was dead. The priest said if he had had the enthronement at any other time, he would have missed seeing the man, who would have died without the sacraments, for no one at the hospital knew he was a Catholic, and the family didn't really realize how sick the man was. Again, New Orleans. The same priest relates the following story. When he arrived at the home for the enthronement, he knew the head of the house hadn't been to the sacraments for some 50 years. He was determined he wouldn't leave the house without hearing his confession. As usual, he began by having the father escort him through the house with a lighted candle for the blessing of the home. When the priest and the father arrived in the kitchen at the back of the house, he closed the door and told the man to blow out the candle, for they were going to have a little talk. The priest reminded the man that as the head of the house, he was enthroning the Sacred Heart as his king, and it wouldn't do to make a mockery of this ceremony. He reminded him of the love and mercy of the Sacred Heart. In the meantime, the rest of the family and the guests waited wonderingly in the front room. Finally, after a long delay during which some of the guests, tired of waiting, went home, the priest and the father appeared. With a smile on his face, the husband threw his arms around his wife and announced the good news that he had just been to confession. Overjoyed, the wife danced around the room with her husband as the priest watched with tears in his eyes. The enthronement that followed was truly a solemn act of thanksgiving for this unexpected grace. The next day, the husband and wife received Holy Communion together, he for the first time in 50 years. That afternoon, as the man was returning from work, he was run over by a streetcar and killed. His communion proved to be his viaticum. A double miracle, San Francisco. One day a priest who had had many enthronements in his parish was called to the parlor by a sobbing woman who asked him to pray for her husband, who she said was very sick and in fact dying. But he refused to have a priest. The woman begged Father to pray for his soul. "I'll do that," he answered, "but I'll do more. I'm coming to your home to hear his confession." "But Father, you can't do that. He won't see a priest. In fact, he curses at the mention of having a priest in the home. Please pray for him." "Woman," replied the priest, "where is your faith? Didn't I promise you the day I enthroned the Sacred Heart in your home, even though your husband wasn't there, that if you trusted the Sacred Heart and frequently renewed your acts of consecration, that he would not allow your husband to die without the sacraments?" "Well, he will keep his promise. Now go home, kneel down before the Sacred Heart with your children, and renew your act of consecration." Almost despite herself, the wife promised to do what the priest had asked. The same day, the pastor came to the home. A weeping wife met him at the door. "Trust the Sacred Heart," she was reminded. "Pray to him while I go in to see your husband." When the priest entered the dying man's room, he found the patient in an oxygen tent, but conscious. Putting on the purple stole, he asked the two doctors present to leave the room. Approaching the bedside of the dying sinner, he asked the man if he would like to make his peace with God and go to confession. The answer was an affirmative shake of the head. Grace had conquered. The miracle had occurred. The priest announced the good news to the wife in the next room. She could hardly believe her ears. In the meantime, the doctors returned to the sick room. At once they called the priest. "Father," questioned one of them, "what have you done to this man?" "What have I done? Why, I simply heard his confession and anointed him and prepared him for death." "Father," was the reply, "this man isn't going to die. Take a look at him." Glancing at the patient, Father was surprised to see him sitting up in bed, completely changed in appearance. He could hardly believe his eyes. The priest concluded his story by saying, "I had promised that man I would return with Holy Viaticum, but believe it or not, the next day he walked to church and received Holy Communion at the communion rail." How much this 20th century story reminds one of the gospel story of the man with the palsy lowered into the room before Jesus. In both cases, neither man had asked to have his sins forgiven, yet not only was this granted to them, but each of them was restored to health. And the witnesses of the modern example of the mercy of Jesus could well cry out, as did those of Capernaum's miracle, "We have seen wonderful things today, We never saw the like. Quick results. Camden, New Jersey. It was the second night of the men's mission. I had finished hearing confessions, and I was saying my breviary in the back of the church. At that moment, a worried-looking man came up to the aisle and knelt beside me. "Father, the pastor told me to talk to you. He said you have the answer to my problem." "I don't have the answer to your problem," I said, "but the Sacred Heart does." "Well, yes, that's what the pastor said." "Well, what's your problem? Let's sit down for a moment." "Well, Father, it's a pretty big one, even for the Sacred Heart. My wife has left me, and this is the third time. She says she'll never come back. She's with her mother. There's 10 years difference in age between us. We were married during the war, no children. The pastor's been to see her. He says she's bitter. There's no hope of a reconciliation as far as she's concerned. But he told me to see you, that you might help me." I accepted the challenge. "I don't know how, but the Sacred Heart can and will solve your problem if you do what I tell you," I said. "Father, I'll do anything to get her back." "Good. Here's what I want you to do. First, make an act of blind faith in the Sacred Heart. You've got to believe that he can and will help you." "Father, I'll do my best." "Fine. Secondly, you have to make reparation for your part in this situation. You're as much to blame as she is." "That's right, Father," said the man. "It's partly my fault. What do you want me to do?" "I want you to make the rest of this mission with great fervor. Don't miss a night, and be sure to go to daily Mass and communion. Say your rosary each day and make some voluntary sacrifice. For instance, cut down on smoking." Again, the young husband promised he would do his best. He would pay the price. "All right, here is the final thing I want you to do. When your wife comes home..." The man looked surprised. "She'll be back," I continued, "and the first thing you should do when she comes back is to enthrone the Sacred Heart as king of your home." "But Father..." He protested, "I know nothing about the enthronement." "Don't worry. I'm going to give a talk about it before the end of the mission. I will come to your home with the pastor and enthrone the Sacred Heart in the place of honor in your home, so this won't happen again. Will you promise me to have the enthronement?" "I sure will, Father. I'll do anything you say." "Great. I will ask the congregation to pray for special intentions tomorrow, and I will remember this one in my Mass. But you have to have a lot of trust in the merciful love of the Sacred Heart. He loves you both, and he's anxious to bring you together again. Confidence is the key to his heart." Well, when the young man left, he looked relieved. My confidence in the Sacred Heart was catching. Now he had a ray of hope. 3 nights later, the same young man hurried into the sacristy after the services. Excitedly, he blurted out, "Father, the Sacred Heart sure works fast. My wife came home today and everything is fine. And we're starting all over, moving into a new apartment Friday." "Friday? Do you know what day that is?" "Why, that's First Friday. Looks like the Sacred Heart is letting you know he's going to bless your new start. Congratulations. Your confidence did the trick." "Father, how about keeping your promise to enthrone the Sacred Heart in our apartment on Friday?" "Not so fast, young man. Wait until the mission is over. Give your wife a chance to get organized. Bring her in to see me at the end of the mission. Then we'll arrange for the enthronement." Well, the pastor could hardly believe his ears when he heard what happened. "Father," he said, "this is nothing short of a miracle. You should have talked to her. She was absolutely determined that she would never go back to him. This is terrific." On Sunday night, after the close of the men's mission, a happy couple came into the sacristy, hand in hand. Arrangements were made to go to their home at the close of the women's mission the following Sunday. When the pastor and I arrived, we found members of both families present. We had expected some tenseness, but there was none. The young couple had prepared a place of honor for the Sacred Heart in the living room. They had bought fresh roses, and with the lighted candles on the home altar, the room had taken on the atmosphere of a private chapel. The statue of the Sacred Heart was blessed on the opposite side of the room, and then to the strains of "To Jesus' Heart All Burning," the husband, with his wife beside him, carried the statue to the altar and placed the king upon his throne. As I watched, I thought to myself how wonderfully he had backed up the priest when he went out on a limb with blind faith in his promise. But then I remembered the Sacred Heart has never broken his word. The husband had fulfilled his part of the bargain, and the Sacred Heart had kept his. The case was closed. Men give up drink. Canada. One of the graces that often follows the enthronement is the giving up of drinking on the part of an alcoholic. Although we do not claim that this is true in every case, nevertheless we know of a number of remarkable cases of men who have completely changed after the enthronement in their homes. One such case happened in Canada. For months, the wife had been postponing the enthronement because every weekend her husband would go on a bender. Finally, after her husband had been on the wagon for some time, she set a date with the priest. Sunday night came, and guests arrived at the home. To her horror, her husband showed up under the influence of liquor. When the priest arrived, the tearful wife tried to have him call off the ceremony. "He will disgrace the family," was her plea. But the pastor, a man of great faith in the Sacred Heart, decided to go ahead as though nothing were wrong. "We'll leave everything to the Sacred Heart. He'll take care of us." The ceremony began. The father was asked by the priest to place the statue on the throne. He managed to do so, although he almost fell down. As if paying no attention, the priest continued. The ceremony was completed, and at the end, they sang a hymn to the Sacred Heart, and the father singing louder than the rest. The result? From that day on, the head of the house hasn't had a drop to drink. Maryland. The father was a Protestant and an alcoholic. The marriage was on the point of being broken up. The Sacred Heart was enthroned in the home, and today the father is a devout Catholic who never touches liquor. Tepid souls will grow fervent. Virginia. W.B. was a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps. Religion meant little to him. His sole ambition was to go as high as possible in the Marines and then retire. But the Sacred Heart set a trap for him, and he was caught. One day he went to the military chapel at Fort Belvoir for one of his infrequent confessions. While waiting his turn, he reached for a magazine in the pamphlet rack. It proved to be The Preservation of the Home, published by the National Center of the Enthronement. Opening it, his eyes fell on an article entitled "Fisherman's Enthronement." It told of a Gloucester fisherman whose daughter came home from school and tried to persuade her father to enthrone the Sacred Heart in the place of honor in the home. But that place was occupied by the picture of a ship, the father's pride and joy. Her efforts at first proved fruitless, but finally the father succumbed to pressure. Down came the picture of the ship, and up went the Sacred Heart. Blessings came to the home, the greatest. The father was saved during a storm at sea. As the officer read the story, grace was working in his soul. Arriving home, he told his wife about it. "Why don't we do the same thing? We need blessings too." The wife agreed, but where to place the Sacred Heart? After considering every place in the room, they both looked at each other and admitted there was only one place of honor, and that was over the mantelpiece. But there stood their prize, a valuable landscape they had always carried with them in their travels. Finally, they both agreed to enthrone the Sacred Heart where the landscape painting had stood. So the chaplain was invited, And although they had no copy of the ritual, they did the two essential things. They enthroned the picture in the place of honor and consecrated themselves to the Sacred Heart. Then things started to happen. The man was so grateful for the graces that later came to his home that he wrote an article published in the Preservation of the Home entitled, "There's Been a Revolution." There certainly was. The man who was so indifferent about religion became a daily communicant. The family started the family rosary. Every night, they renew their act of consecration. Both the wife and the husband have become ardent promoters of the enthronement and won over many families at Fort Belvoir and elsewhere. Lieutenant Colonel B. even persuaded the authorities at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., to have the solemn enthronement at the university. Monthly, they make their night adoration together from 1 to 2 a.m. Members of their family were blessed. Lieutenant Colonel B.'s brother, away from the sacraments for 20 years, received a Sacred Heart shrine as a Christmas present from his brother. On Christmas night, he himself suggested the family rosary and later returned to the sacraments. A number of years have passed and the officer's family is still faithful. The one ambition of the parents now is to become saints and to see to it that their five children become saints too. And because the Marine Corps interfered with this program, he resigned. Indeed, there's been a revolution. I will bless every place. Brooklyn. Sometimes the enthronement may not be carried out for one reason or another. One reason would be if the parents do not practice their religion. Then it may not take place. But can nothing be done in this case? Something can be done, as the following story will show. After the enthronement in a Brooklyn home, a Legion of Mary member approached me. "Father," she said, "I'd like to get families to enthrone the Sacred Heart in their homes, but the families I visit are not practical Catholics. So I'm going about it in another way. I'm first trying to get them to say the rosary. Then later, I will talk to them about the Sacred Heart." I answered, "I think you're putting the cart before the horse. You are making Mary an obstacle to Jesus." Surprised, the woman answered, "But Father, don't we have to go to Jesus through Mary? She will prepare the way for her son." "True, but the son can sometimes prepare the way for his mother too." The legionary asked me to explain. I asked her, "How many families have you succeeded in getting to say the family rosary?" "Well, Father, truthfully, not many, just one." "So one family will be allowed to have the Sacred Heart." "But Father," came the objection, "you certainly can't ask fallen away Catholics to enthrone the Sacred Heart in their homes." "No, and you shouldn't, but there is another way. Did you ever realize the significance of the promise of the Sacred Heart to bless every place where the image of his Sacred Heart is singularly honored?" He said that if this is done, he would touch the unfeeling hearts of men. Take that promise literally, and the next time you call on one of these fallen away families, bring along a picture of the Sacred Heart. Offer it to them as a gift. If they accept it, they will be blessed. Go further and try to get them to put it in the place of honor. If they do, they will be blessed. Well, the suggestion was acted upon. Sometime later, I received a letter from this worker which stated, quote, "This story I'm about to relate should make you happy as it did me. Remember when you told me if we can just get people to accept the picture of the Sacred Heart, half the battle is won? A miracle was performed Saturday, May 13th. Had visited the bees on May 8th for census. And the woman was hardly civil and told us we should take care of her husband. From the way she spoke, we had ourselves braced for a big time of it. Friday, May 12th, revisited B's to speak to Mr. B. First thing he did was to ask, would they accept the picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus? I had framed the picture. They said, all right. I said a prayer and placed the picture over the mantelpiece. The prayer was, Father, please bring peace to this home. At once, Mr. B. said, I would like to make my peace with my Lord if you will help me. I told him I would. Seems he was away from the sacraments for 6 years. His wife, a non-Catholic, had been baptized a Catholic. 3 children, the youngest 2.5 years old, not baptized yet. The miracle, through the picture of the Sacred Heart, followed. The next day, I called for the bees. They were waiting for me, Mr. and Mrs. and the children. Was I surprised? I escorted them to church. Mr. B. went to confession. Diane, the baby, was baptized. I was the godmother. Arrangements were made with Father R. to instruct Mrs. B. Richard, age 5, to be registered to enter a Catholic school, and they also wished to have the enthronement. Father, the same night we handed a picture of the Sacred Heart to another family, same prayer, brought the woman back to confession after 24 years, and her son made appointment to go for instructions, to be confirmed. He's 19. I feel I can conquer every heart. Unquote. The Sacred Heart never fails those who place all their trust in him. Postpone the paint job. Jim McM was at the end of his rope. Hospitalization after an accident had used up all his reserve funds, and poor health prevented him from getting a job. A new baby added to the mounting bills and the worry. Jim phoned me. Father, I don't know where to turn. Turn to the Sacred Heart, as I've told you to do many times. Enthrone him in your home and place all your trust in him. He'll help you. But, Father, we should get the house painted before the enthronement. Postpone the paint job, I interrupted. Our Lord was born in a stable. He's not interested in the way your house looks. He's more interested in having you give him the place of honor in your home. Okay, Father, when can you come over? The ceremony was set for Sunday night. With the baby cooing in the crib before the throne, the Sacred Heart was enthroned as king and friend of the home. In my talk, I reminded them of our Lord's love and mercy, and his desire to be trusted with a childlike confidence. He will take care of all your needs, you'll see. The next day, the excited Jim called me. Voice trembling, he blurted out, Father, the Sacred Heart came through. I just got a call to report to work for a government agency. I had applied for the position 3 months ago, but they turned me down. Now they want me. Boy, am I happy and thankful. Later, Jim moved from Washington to California. The Sacred Heart continued to bless him. Recently, I received a letter from him. He is now in the Air Force, stationed, of all places, near Paray-le-Monial, and his girl is going to a school conducted by the Visitation Nuns, the very community to which St. Margaret Mary belonged. Strange and wonderful are the ways of the Sacred Heart. I will protect and assist families. Los Angeles. As the evictors were removing Mrs. H.'s furniture, she asked them not to pile stuff on her piano. At least, she said, we can have some fun while on the street. Sure enough, when the Red Cross representatives and the news photographer arrived, they found her playing the piano, surrounded by 8 of her 10 children, all singing as though they were in their living room. Crazy? No, just an example of grit on the part of a mother who was determined that misfortune was not going to get her down, and who was convinced that the Sacred Heart would not let her down. Needless to say, he didn't. How she managed to keep her family together after her husband died, leaving her with 10 children, how she survived the critical years until the older boys got out of the Navy and went to work, brought up her children as exemplary Catholics, and at the same time kept herself young in spirit and a pal to her children is quite a story and quite a feat. If you ask Mrs. H. how she did the trick in this day and age, she'll flash a youthful smile and tell you it was the Sacred Heart and the Blessed Mother. When you visit her home, there's no doubt about who occupies the place of honor there. On the piano, yes, the same one, is a large statue of the Sacred Heart with a vigil light burning before it. And in the backyard is a life-size statue of the Blessed Mother on a pedestal made by Mrs. H. herself. Yes, her home is indeed a Bethany, where our Lord finds himself among friends. Daily Mass and Communion, visits by the children to the Blessed Sacrament on the way home from work, daily family rosary, night adoration in the home are all a part of the Christian family living of this fine, up-to-date American family. Their faith recently was again put to the test. They were forced to move. It was impossible, they were told, to find a house large enough for the big family. They stormed heaven with prayers. They promised the Sacred Heart a solemn renewal of their enthronement in their new home if he would provide it. They got the entire family together, married daughters, babies and all, and made a family holy hour in the living room. When the deadline arrived for moving, there was no house to be had except a smaller one. They started packing, prepared to store part of their furniture. Still, they didn't lose confidence. At the last minute, the telephone rang. They had a large house. The solemn renewal of the enthronement in the new home turned out to be a real act of thanksgiving. And before the priest left, he went to the backyard to bless the statue of Our Lady already in place. Moral, if you believe, you will see the power of my heart in the magnificence of my love. Our Lord to St. Margaret Mary. All kinds of blessings. Everywhere this image is exposed and honored, it will draw down all kinds of blessings. Truly, all kinds of blessings follow the enthronement. Here's a case of a young woman gradually losing her mind. The family is overwhelmed with grief at the thought of putting her away. Daily, her condition becomes worse. Doctors say she might be dangerous. One day, with the deranged girl and the weeping family in the room, a relative suddenly jumped up and told them in no uncertain terms that now was the time to turn to the Sacred Heart. Do what I've been urging you to do. Enthrone the Sacred Heart here and now. Desperate, they agreed. A statue of the Sacred Heart was found in the attic. The relative conducted the ceremony. When it was over, a great calm came over the sick girl. She apologized for causing so much trouble. The next day, she was admitted to a mental institution in which they had been told there was no room. A short time later, she was discharged, completely healed, and able to resume her position. Again, the blessing consists of one or more vocations from the home in which the Sacred Heart is enthroned. We know of many examples. One is that of the Fox family. In the 1920s, they had the Sacred Heart enthroned in their Boston home. From this home came five vocations, three priests and two nuns. The one who relates the story is the present abbot of the Trappist Monastery at Gethsemane in Kentucky. We attribute these vocations to the Sacred Heart, is the conviction of Abbot James Fox. Our answer to the problem of vocations is to work to have the Sacred Heart enthroned in as many homes as possible. From these homes will come the vocations of the future, for the Sacred Heart has promised all kinds of blessings. And one of the greatest is, without doubt, a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life. A letter from the Secretariat of State of His Holiness from the Vatican, April 4th, 1929. Most Reverend Father, the Sovereign Pontiff has been graciously pleased with the letters which on the occasion of his jubilee and on behalf of all night adorers in the home you have respectfully sent for his acceptance, and which the apostolate of night adoration has moved so many of the bishops to write in favorable reply to you. His Holiness cordially thanks you for the fresh testimony of the great veneration felt for his august person. He sees in it a still further mark of the zeal with which you are animated for the sanctification of souls and for the spread of the great social duty of making reparation for so many outrages offered to the love that is not loved. The Sovereign Pontiff, having noted with great satisfaction the good results of this apostolate, blesses it wholeheartedly, convinced that it will help much toward enabling an ever-increasing number of souls to live in true accord with the teachings of the Holy Gospels. He sends as a pledge of his paternal benevolence to you and to all night adorers a special apostolic blessing. Accept, most reverend father, the assurance of my own devotedness in your regard. Signed, Cardinal Gasparri.